Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know nothing about that. All I know is that somebody is going to get their ass whooped over this thing.
Damn right. Well, everyone, I made a joke last week, and it was a long week. I haven't been in the loop on anything. I didn't really have access to, anything to connect me to my normal accounts and things. So I just basically had a little bit of access to the computer, and I wasn't signed in or anything, so it didn't have any of my recommended things and whatever. But they had made a joke about the hurricane, and if I would survive, I'd be back on. So it was crazy, but there was a lesson, and I guess this is just to, in case anyone was wondering what happened, I was not even able to get in touch with Bill telephonically to let him know what had happened. But people in these situations are their own worst enemies, especially down here in South Florida growing up here. This has always been an issue because no one has ever prepared. Everybody gets in the way of everybody else. The news media hypes up these things and makes them into ratings bonanzas so that people, they show the same. It might as well be stock footage. It probably is stock footage of shelves being emptied, water not being there. Everyone makes a run on gasoline, and then there's nowhere to go because no one can waste the gas just in case the power and everything goes down. Basically, what happened is this. It was a big hype job, which I said that it was going to be, because I've lived here for 42 years, and for some reason, I'm the only person in the state of Florida that knows the history of the hurricanes and what they've done here. Now, along the coast, if you live along the coast, you always have coastal flooding and storm surge are the two biggest. I feel like I have to explain this because no one else did. The biggest threats in a hurricane are storm surge and flooding. So obviously, if you live further inland, you don't have to worry so much about the flooding, unless, like in Katrina, you live near some place where there's levees and they blow them up. But that's not the case here. So in all the years that Florida was settled, I always said, how could you settle a place like this without air conditioning? It's so mercilessly humidly hot that between the mosquitoes and the humidity and the heat, it would just be ridiculously miserable to set things up here. And then you stack hurricanes and storms, tropical storms on top of that. So basically, obviously, the way the land formed and the way that the islands are around this, the reason why you can't be a surfer in South Florida on the East Coast is basically because of the Bahamas. I have a family member who's from the Bahamas, and he taught me how to surf. And the reason why the waves don't come in nice sets, it's all chop slop, is because the Bahamas work as a natural sort of barrier. So does, the other chains of islands to the south and to the southeast of the state. And usually the hurricanes you always see go along a path. They form on the western coast of the continent of Africa. There's natural pathways that they follow along, and they always happen to turn away from the coast at the last minute, where they always change their trajectory or their course. It's not an accident that this happens, and it's not random, but it's never explained this way in the news, which panics the people. Like, for instance, if you look back in the history of the storms, there was one since they've been recording them since 1850, which is their official record. the worst storm, I think, after they started recording in 1850, was the one that hit the railroads as they were trying to expand down south towards the Keys. And I think it was Henry Flagler that was trying to build a railroad that went all the way down and spanned the entirety of the state. And it's always at the same time, too, around Labor Day weekend, when a real bad storm hit and knocked off the bridge that he was building with the railroad track on it, and it delayed production of that railroad track. So that was the first big storm that Florida was famous for getting hit by, that was like maybe a Category 4 or 5 hurricane, something like that. It was pretty severe. But I don't think anybody lived down there. It just did a lot of damage to the railroad. So if you knew anything about history, and this is why understanding history is important, if you knew that, you'd say, okay, well, then when was the next big storm? Well, the next really big storm that sort of took people by surprise and did a lot of damage to the infrastructure was Hurricane Andrew in Miami. And that was a long time ago compared to now, compared to the systems of communication that the everyday average person has, compared to the whole FEMA setup that they had, and the whole protocols of what they would do, whether it be from the military to the hospital to the Coast Guard to everybody. Everything's changed since then. It's gotten better. They've reinforced and upgraded all of their the way they track weather, the way they track storms. They know that certain storms are fluke storms, and this is without getting into the conspiratorial side, which is that maybe that's a bad word for it, but about the cloud seeding and the, you know, weather weapon things and the stuff they did in Vietnam with the flooding of the Ho Chi Minh Trail and all that sort of thing, without even going there. And that's open source, I think, material. Putting all that aside, let's say you just do the history of the storms. The first bad one hit with the railroads. You got almost like a 60-year gap between that one and then the next big one, which is, let's say, Hurricane Andrew. And then, of course, when Katrina happened, that was also exacerbated by what they did to when the levees broke. That was kind of a fluke year that year, because there were two storms that sort of coupled up, and I forget the names. I think it was Wilma. And what happened was that they came in from the Gulf Coast, so they came around the side. Why don't they ever hit on the East Coast? Well, one of the things they deal with the was that the storms had never in their recorded history come in at that angle from the Atlantic and made a landfall where they were projecting this storm to make. Now, they have these spaghetti models where they show 100 different line paths. And what was interesting about this was I was in another state. We left a couple years ago because we weren't sure. They had mandatorily, this is another thing that was very egregious, and if it was an average individual citizen that did this, it would be called incitement, you know, inciting people to panic. They did a mandatory evacuations, and they did that this year, and they called them off. So they sort of painted themselves in a corner, because then when nothing was going to happen, and it was obvious that nothing was going to happen, they had to kind of retract what they said, but people had already headed for the hills, or they had left, or they had gotten on a plane. A family member of mine, she went to Maine. Another person I know boarded up their house, and another person boarded up their windows, and it was for nothing. I saw after, forgetting the name, Katrina, the one that happened in New Orleans, and I have pictures, and all the houses were boarded up. And the aftermath of that was horrible. I don't know how I can tell the story without going into too much detail and leaving out people's names. All right, let's say a kid was there, a guy, and his uncle was stuck in the house, and he drove as far south as he could to find him, had to get a commandeer, basically a boat, paddle to the uncle's house, pull him out of his roof. Imagine the floodwaters rising. I'm trying to contrast a real life-threatening situation with what they try to scare people with. These people that in New Orleans, when this happened, climbed up to get to higher ground. They didn't know how to swim, a lot of them. This person's uncle was one of them, who he climbed to get higher ground in his own house. Imagine you climb into your attic. Now, how are you going to break through your own roof? It's harder than you would think that it would be. I mean, really hard. So a lot of people drown in their attics. And in the aftermath, what you would see is a bunch of boarded up houses with Bill did a video where he showed, like they put this coated thing when they searched the house, and they didn't even search them that thoroughly. And they do like a circle across, and they put four, whatever the code word is, for like bodies and stuff. But what the people themselves were putting on their houses were, because of bandits and robbers and stuff, they would write, and I have pictures of pictures and pictures of this, they would write, "I have an ugly wife, two dogs, and a shotgun. Don't try it." Or some variation of that on house after house after house that was boarded up. That was a real storm. That was real chaos and climate. And people who are preppers, if you ever want to know how bad it does actually get with what people like Alex Jones and stuff promote and say, you know, it would look like if martial law was declared, or, you know, that sort of thing, that whole line of like if everything broke down. The closest thing to it would be one of these storms, and how, all right, all the power goes out. The worst one here in recent memory was that year when the two rolled in, coming back to Florida. Now, what I saw here in Florida, this is back when my mom was still alive, so it was probably early 2000s. So it must have been Wilma, I think. And what happened was that power was out in some places for up to a month, you know, and people needed generators. They didn't have them. People were in line. This woman was trying to give her jewelry away just to get a gallon of gas. You know, they were freaking out because they didn't understand how long it was going to last. All the traffic lights were out. The police were just sort of, you know, watching. They weren't really interacting or doing anything. I'm not saying they were doing a bad job. They just weren't really doing anything. It was just so everyone was overwhelmed. My hands were shaking from the stress. Not because I was so stressed out. It was one of these situations where it didn't let up. It was just nonstop going, going, going. And everybody was afraid collectively, whenever these storms come, that it's going to be another one of these situations. But they do not avail themselves of the knowledge of the history of the storms and what their approach is. And then the news does a disservice to the people by leading them on in a way, because here's the way they did it, and the way I've noticed the pattern from since I was little. They'll tell you that a storm is forming maybe a week to 10 days out. They'll say that it's in the Atlantic somewhere and it's gathering up steam. And they'll say, well, it's going to project it to be a Category 5. It's going to go over some warmer waters or colder waters, and it's going to get even bigger, and it's going to slow down. And, you know, they give up something. And then they'll do a little bit of a line drawing of where they estimate it might go. And that one is usually the most accurate one. So they'll say, it looks like it's going to go in between, these islands like the Bahamas and stuff, and it's going to make landfall or go pretty close and graze the coast, and it might cause some flooding, and the bands of rain on the outer bands of rain will hit and cause some wind damage. And they'll say that when it's about a week out. Then they revise their models. And these are not just weather models. These are behavioral game theory models too, because they want to see who's listening, how influential they are. My lights just went out and I said that. They want to know who's listening, how influential their news is taken, The politicians always want to remind you that, hey, they're like tapping you on the shoulder constantly. You need us. Remember, you need us, because otherwise, what do they do? What do they do? The average person never wonders, what do they do? What good do they do? So whenever these storms come up, they always jump at the chance to act like they're in control and that everybody's got to take it super serious and that, you know, they're on the case and they're on top of it. But the way they report it, they use the words you can pick out. And I did a show with a guy named Lennon that we used to do a media manipulation show back in 2009. And he was talking about this. He was even talking about all the family stuff, the Owen Benjamin stuff, way before Owen Benjamin. And the only reason why his show is as successful as it got, did not get as big as Owen Benjamin's, was because he didn't push the whole aspect about Christianity. And he didn't push the angle of, he stayed away a little bit away from the more conspiratorial things. But otherwise, he would have been, he was 10 years ahead of him with that. He almost, you could almost say he plagiarized his show, even though I'm not sure that he did. But the point is that we were talking about this media manipulation and how they scare people with the way they report the news. So what they did was they basically said that this storm was coming in, and as it got closer, there's a clip of Shepard Smith a year ago saying people will die, children will die. I mean, it was just total incitement and, fear mongering, worse than an Alex Jones thing. But what the Weather Channel people were doing was they were getting excited because this was like their Super Bowl. So they were saying, oh my God, this is a category 4. It's going to get up to a category 5 with sustained wind of 115 miles. And when you're in another state and you're watching the news weather from another state covering these things, it puts them into better perspective to show that, they like to mess with people. So they like the fear angle. They got disappointed when the storm started to turn, even though they knew that it would turn. They didn't bring out the history of storms that had made landfall, and they just neglected to mention that one little fact that no storm had ever made landfall at that angle on the coast of Florida since they had been recording them. Now, don't you think if an average person was telling you or briefing you on this news saying, hey, listen, there's a storm off the coast, and you'd say, how serious? And they'd say, well, it's a category 4. It could get even bigger. But, you know, let's put it into context. There's never been one that's ever come in that could. However, there's always a chance, but there is a jet stream or a pressure system that sort of pushes these storms upward. And that's kind of why the coast of Florida is where it's at. And that's sort of why people have been able to settle Florida, because if there were storms hitting randomly every year, then no one would ever be able to set up, any kind of, giant. There are these giant, 50 story, because I used to do plumbing on them and get up to them on the rooftops along A1A, which is the road. If you know the Vanilla Ice song, he was rolling down A1A. There are these giant condos that, buildings that are like skyscrapers on the beach, and it's scary enough during the day to look out over the ocean with those. They wouldn't build them if there were random storms that just crashed against the coastline, of the Atlantic, on the Atlantic side of Florida every year, randomly. They wouldn't do that. It's like in New York City when they said they built the buildings in anticipation of planes crashing into them, just in case, or whatever they said. Like, they don't not take these things into account. So it's asinine and it's frustrating to see the way they report these things. After doing shows on media manipulation, they use words like, when we used to do the media manipulation show, they always say, official, we did this on the BP oil spill, which also was right here. And They said it was the worst ecological disaster of our time. And then they never talked. You never hear about it now. They never talk about it anymore. The worst ecological disaster in history, they claimed. And never, ever do you hear. They made a movie about it, but you don't hear about it anymore. So they hype these things up. They scare the hell out of the people. It's kind of the fault there. It's kind of the people's own fault for not looking into the history. If you're going to live here and you're going to get and you're going to come down here during hurricane season, at least, you know, look at the history of the storms and when they come in and what you should have so that you don't have to run out at the last minute. You don't have to jam up the airport. God knows what happens at the hospitals and how many people had to go in. Yes, the gas stations were drained dry of gasoline. I'm sure that the Weather Channel got its ratings spike because that was, like I said, it's Super Bowl weekend because it always happens in the same, you know, the same weekend. So, I mean, this is all down to a T. The other thing they do too is it drives sales, it drives influence, it drives all kinds of things. It's a good test of social cohesion. It's a good test of for political reasons to show that the governor is there and he does something that you know he actually has a purpose. It shows that. FPL, Florida Power and Light, which has a monopoly, is on the case in that they have chopped down all the trees. That's the other thing they got ready for these last couple of years was they went in and uprooted all these trees that were older than entire generations of people here and, you know, just tore them out so that they were not in the way of any kind of power lines and things. So a lot of that had been preemptively done. But they kept using all the way down to the day that the storm was supposed to hit. They kept using the words like scary, deadly, dangerous, trigger words, words that would make people either run, say it's better to be safe than sorry, and race out things that would make people against their better judgment, you know, go out and drive maybe and get into car accidents because if they think they're under the gun and they have to rush, you know, sometimes they're not focused. And it was crazy when that scenario I was talking about the whole the closest thing to what they always talk about with the FEMA camps and the martial law, the closest to that was when that hurricane hit and the power lights went out, all the power lights in the city went out, all the gas was scarce, no one knew how long it was going to last, everyone was mad, they were hot, the air was off, the food and the lines out of the in and out of the stores to buy things because everything depends on the electricity to get. If you needed to get money out of the ATMs, they only have a certain amount in them at the time. So people didn't know if they should be hitting up the ATMs and getting cash out because no one knew how long all that was going to last. It was so chaotic that I think that lingered in the back of people's minds. And then you couple that with the way that the reporting was, that it just scared a lot of people. So then, you know, you just as confident as I was about the whole thing, even I had to second guess myself a little bit. Having lived here my whole life, having survived all these times, I was making a joke about it before it happened, you know, with gallows humor. But, you know, I had some second thoughts as they showed the thing approaching because they said, okay, fine. At the last minute, it kept changing and changing and changing. They always do the same thing. They always say at the last minute, oh, now it's going to hit the whole state. They always change the projected path and make a cone and say, see this cone? This cone encompasses the entire state. And even if it doesn't, the eye of the storm doesn't go over this area, the outer bands of the storm will reach through the entire state. Now, do you think that's a coincidence that they do that? They do that so that everyone will feel like they have to race out, and it will drive the economy. It will push whatever news stories off of the, you know, the main stories in the background. So if they want to hide anything, they can bury the lead in there. The other thing that happened is that when we drove 2 years ago, and they did a mandatory, then they do mandatory evacuations that if you don't leave, you get in trouble. But then they rescinded them. So 2 years ago, they suspended all the tolls so that people could take the turnpike. Everybody jumped onto the turnpike and jammed it up so that they all just got stuck. We drove up I-95, which is the interstate that goes all the way up the coast, and no one was on there because they all thought the tolls were free on the turnpike. So they did that. They had a bunch of people, you know, panicking, stuck in the road, under duress. They're hot. They don't know if they're going to run out of gas. They don't know if they're going to run out of money and food. And the news is not de-escalating. They're escalating the situation. I'm trying to go and belabor this because I really want people to understand how much they play people with. This is not just for weather. This is just a good example. But this typifies what they do across the board with all of it. And apparently people still trust the weather, even though they say fake news with everything else. The weather, I guess, is not fake news, even though they're always wrong. And this storm didn't even graze the coast. Yeah, it just sat over, strangely, just sat over the Bahamas and slowed to 1 mile per hour and just sort of, I don't know if the Jeffrey Epstein Island was affected or what, but it just did a strange kind of it took a strange turn, and I feel bad for the people that were there and whatever happened. I don't know the extent of the damage. Like I said, I was sort of out of the loop. A lot of stuff happened here because of people, not because of the storm, because of people panicking and me trying to help out, you know, myself and my immediate family and the people around me, because, you know, we didn't know. You never know for sure. Who knows? Maybe some freak storm would spin off of the, even though a year before there was a storm called Matthew that did the same thing. It went right up the coast and turned away. It was supposed to come directly in, and it went up the coast. And they knew that that's what they do, which I've already got into. But yeah, so I'm still super stressed out from it. It was taxing. It was ridiculous. The gas, I don't know if it's back on. I don't know, you know, if they still, the gas stations were emptied. They the power didn't go out like it did for like a month, you know, the last time. I think it just stormed, but it had been storming before that, even worse. You know, if as a matter of fact, if you hadn't known there was a storm coming, you probably, and you just stayed home for a week. Let's say you were homesick for a week. You probably would not have known. But the people, it was kind of like that Stephen King movie, The Mist. The people in the situation were more dangerous than the events going on with the mist. I mean, there weren't any alien bugs or anything that came flying out, but the people inside were their own worst enemy. And that movie is very accurate with how people act. That is not at all exaggerated about, I could totally see a bunch of people locked in a grocery store starting to do blood sacrifices and all that after a certain amount of time, breaking down. And I saw that with my own eyes. That's basically what happened when the lady was trying to sell her jewelry for a little bit of gas because she was freaked out. And she thought, and I saw the lines going into the drugstore for all the people that needed, the elderly people down here that needed their medications, and they didn't have electricity to work their, I guess it was their ATM cards or whatever they had at the time. This is going back and the line was so long and it was so hot, but the people wanted to get their medications and they wanted to get whatever food was left a little bit on the shelf. I don't know why people don't prep just minimally. I don't know why they don't minimally prep before these things. So, of course, I had, I had some stuff prepared. Well, I had some stuff prepared. Everything got lost and muddled. I forgot even what I talked about last week, but I felt like I should come on just to, because I made that stupid joke about surviving the storm, which is nothing anybody should really joke about. This is why I made the joke. The joke was to say, you know, with the reporting, you know, I'm glad I survived. That's who I was actually taking aim at. It wasn't the actual storm, because storms are severe and we do get terrible hurricanes. In fact, that's why I like that movie adaptation that I recommend almost every time the show comes on, because it actually shows one of the main characters in that loses his whole life to Hurricane Andrew, wipes out, and it shows the devastation. And there's this really good scene in that movie that's very realistic, with a car accident followed by that storm. And if you want to get an idea, everybody remembers the people on the rooftops in Louisiana, New Orleans, and how they had to rebuild it to a chocolate city, the guy said. But it was. So, but everybody remembers, you know, the footage of people on their rooftops and stuff. And imagine if you had to crawl up to, in fact, if you want to see, I typed in to show my son, I typed in hurricane footage. You can type in hurricane footage viral, and you'll see unbelievable storms, hailstorms that look like something out of a movie, where they just appear out of the blue. And the hail, a girl picks up a ball, and it's like the size of like a baseball. And it just starts raining down like Armageddon, that movie Armageddon, with the asteroids. And then there's these people shopping at a car dealership. So obviously they didn't know a storm was coming, because why would everybody be out in the showroom of a car dealership, and all of a sudden they close the front doors to the car dealership showroom and it explodes. The glass literally flies in. At first they're laughing at the storm, and then it explodes inwards and glass goes flying everywhere. It immediately turns into deadly projectiles, which they teach us in schools down here. If you go to public school in South Florida, they teach you about how little tiny things can become projectiles, and how little sticks can pick up speed and get, thrown through walls and things. You know, when I was going to school, they tried to tell us that sort of thing. But you see these in this collection of storm footage. And in one of them, I think it's at the very end, there's a storm somewhere. It looks like it's in Sri Lanka or somewhere. And either the rain or the wind or something kicks up the dirt on the ground. And the sky goes from being completely clear to like it's nighttime, you know, just within a matter of seconds. In this video, and it looks like apocalyptic weather. It's unreal, the power of Mother Nature. So that's why the storms are nothing to be scoffed at themselves. It's the reporting, and that's why it makes it that much more egregious that they report it that way, and that they whip people up into such a frenzy. But then it's also equally bad that the people don't understand, if you're going to come to an area that either California, if it has a lot of earthquakes, or some place that has mudslides, or some place that is prone to flooding, or some place that has tornadoes, wherever it is, if you're going to go there, avail yourself of the knowledge of what you have to do, or snowstorms, whatever they, you know, blizzards, who knows, whatever freak acts of nature that can occur, make sure you're aware and get the bare minimum requirements so that you don't get stuck. Because what happens is that it becomes a problem for everyone. And the people that come here, they're old and they need medication. And on a good day, you know, they're kind of, you know, a little bit wobbly when they're driving on the road. You know, on a good day, they'll run you off the road or pull out in front of you very slowly as you're traveling down the street at a safe, relatively safe speed. They'll just pull out right in front of you. The joke used to always be it was some little old lady or old man that was so small they couldn't see over the steering wheel. That's not a joke. It's a real thing. And they drive big cars, thank God, because if they weren't, there'd be more fatalities. So I'm still stressed out and hyped from this thing. My adrenaline is still kind of, and I didn't even really go out driving in it. We figured if we had gas in the car, then we could charge anything and, you know, have air and even just sit in the car if we had to, if it got really hot, because it gets really hot, even with AC down here. It's just ridiculously hot. You'd never understand how people settled this place between mosquitoes and, you know, and the heat. But when you get used to it and you come here, which I don't recommend people do, because I was born in Miami, but it's kind of a cesspit. I see that they're making a new Bad Boys movie with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, and I kind of laughed when they showed Miami, and they always try to glamorize it. And, you know, it's really... It's not that glamorous, but and I'm not talking about the people. I'm just talking about the state of decay of the city itself. But it does have some nice beaches. The water is very blue, and the sand is white, and it's something to see if you've never seen it before. Like I said, I don't know where I left off last week. I didn't even talk to Bill. He did check up to see if I was all right. He gave me actually good advice. He goes, just order out. And he was probably half. That is what I did the first 2 days. And believe it or not, people were still delivering food because they wanted to make extra money for the storm. And the way to beat the lines at the grocery stores was to order the food. And even though they didn't have a lot of the stuff, they were still able to bring what they did have. So it was a way to get some extra drinks and stuff to stay hydrated. And it was a way around it, which I didn't have, you know, the last 2 years. I don't think this was even an app 2 years before. I forget the name of the app, so I can't say it, but whatever the delivery app was. And so far, things I think have been back to normal. I don't know where this storm is now. Like I said, everybody here is safe. A lot of people boarded up. A lot of people headed for the hills. I know how bad real storms can be because I actually was in the places and saw the actual damage and the carnage and everything. Like, I actually did see it and have the pictures. And that was, what year was that? 2000 and, God, I gotta look that up. That seems so far away now. I can't believe it's almost 2020. So yeah, that means it was like, something like 15 years ago, maybe. It was during Bush. So it was, something around 15 years, my God. And so having seen the worst, having lived here my whole life, that's the whole reason why I do this show, is because I remember seeing people talking about the JQ on YouTube and these other platforms, saying that they probably never lived in a town anywhere remotely like what they were saying and had no idea what they were talking about and were probably, you know, feds just trying to whip people up to get angry. And I wanted to always try to separate facts from the hype. And this is a situation just like that, with hype versus facts. And shame on the Shame on the Weather Channel people, because literally when the storm, when it showed that it was going to pass over relatively safely, the guy literally was sad about it. Like, he was actually upset, and you could hear the sadness in his voice, and he goes, well, this 39-mile-an-hour winds are still very serious, because they had egg on their face for making all those people flee and run and do that stuff. So it was half that he was upset because he had a big hurricane boner that he wanted to see some damage. And the other part was because they had to maintain some credibility. So he had to say, but still, wait. It still has these outer rings. And just because it's not going to pass over us, and just because no one's going to even really know there was a hurricane, you know, there's still 39-mile-an-hour winds. I mean, it was just ridiculous. They do the same. It's the same drill every year. I don't know. I understand why people don't. It's talk about cycles, and talk about nothing new under the sun, and things repeating themselves over and over again, like me right now. But I can't drive the point home well enough. And if you live down here and you went through it this last week, you'd be pissed off too. Especially if you knew the history, and you know that they do this drill almost every year. It's like an annual thing. It's like Groundhog's Day. And it's, like I said, shame on these people for doing it. Especially to the elderly people that live down here. Because, damn, they're gullible. Everybody is. Not just the elderly. But the elderly, it's like we have laws here that protect, that are for defrauding the elderly. The point is that you don't want people taking advantage of your grandma and your grandpa, or you when you become a grandma or grandpa, because you are, it's like when taking advantage of a child, when somebody is a little bit older and they have extra needs that they didn't maybe have before, and somebody comes along and, you know, tries to rip them off or lie to them or steal them, take advantage of them because of it, that's kind of extra bad, you know. And that's basically what these people did. They mind raped everybody and made them think that they were all going to die. And find that clip with Shepard Smith saying, men and women will die. Children will die. He actually said that. He looked at the camera and said it. And it was so uncalled for. Even if that was true, if there's nothing they can do about it, why? What was the point? Why? So these people are ghouls, they're freakish, and they panicked people, and they probably caused a hell of a lot more problems. And the politicians with their self-aggrandizing up there every year, they do the same crap too. They get up there from some kind of a hurricane center, fusion center, threat center, FEMA center, whatever it is. They get up there and they act like they're running something. And, you know, they're just stating the obvious. Yeah, I'm getting down to the last minute. I don't know if I'm going to keep going because, like I said, I didn't really have anything planned. That was kind of jarring. It just popped in at 90 seconds and it made me jump. Yeah, my nerves are a little bit shot. I just wanted to make sure that a show was done because I give my word that I would be on. I was a little bit late, but maybe better late than never. And I'll try to see if I can find something funny or something interesting or entertaining. I heard that the new Joker movie is coming out and that it's supposed to be really good. What I'll do is this will go past the end of the show, and I'll just explain what I think about all that. You said 60 seconds, so cue the Jeopardy music, the final Jeopardy music. I heard they were thinking of getting rid of Jeopardy because everybody has Google and Bing and DuckDuckGo and all them. So they don't really, you know, like, it's not impressive that people can call up facts at their fingertips. You know? I think it still is valuable, an interesting. They probably should still keep a show like that going. 10 seconds. 6, 5, 4, 3. And then I'll do the Joker. I don't want to accidentally click this off. Hold on. What happened? Okay, I don't know if it's still going. But it won't really matter because I'll come back to this topic in case it gets clipped off or whatever. Okay, what I saw was, for the fun part, the Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix. They said that it was really good. It hit the Venice Film Festival, I guess it was. And Joaquin Phoenix, who usually shuns the awards and is kind of an outsider, insider to Hollywood. He was raised in the Children of God, which was kind of like a sex cult that was, I think the guy's name was David Berg, that did it, and then his kid, one of his kids, tried to kill him, and he ended up shooting his nanny. It was one of these hippie, nominally Christian hippie cult groups where people, you know, like, that were hardcore hippies that would name their kids like Rain and Water and all that sort of stuff, would join, and a lot of them went to Hollywood. I think Winona Ryder was in there, and a lot of their parents, that was where they did the whole flirty fishing. That could be a whole show in itself. I think I did a show with the detective guy on the Children of God. Rose McGowan, I think, came out of there. A lot of Hollywood, you got to ask yourself why. They would all have like group sex and stuff like that. It was really, really disturbing. And it had this Christian veneer mixed with hippie lifestyle. And the kids were just so molested and they were all would all leave, but they didn't have real life skills except for, I mean, these are good life skills, but I'm talking about to ingratiate themselves into society. They knew how to do like construction and stuff, so they would take jobs doing construction. They'd run away, and then they'd cut, and they were bilingual. So they had two skills that they could get out of it, kind of like the Amish that leave, or you know, maybe some observant Jews that leave and you know, break away. Similar, where they came to. I don't know why they came to Hollywood. I mean, there's a whole thing with Dave, I think, wrote about it with, he wrote The Program to Kill and all that. He was sort of like the left-wing version of William Cooper, if you had to sort of, you know, put him somewhere ideologically. But I think he wrote about that and Laurel Canyon and all that. So Joaquin comes out of there. And he was saying in one of these interviews how he defended his parents because he said that whenever people bring up the Children of God with him, they do it kind of pointedly, like, oh, your parents were in that. And he said, my parents didn't know what that was all about when they joined. They had really good intentions, and I think that they were kind of conned into what they thought it was versus what it actually was. And, you know, he was kind of defending it and then saying that they got out of it. But, you know, here he is. I like him. I think he's a good actor. He kind of had he did that weird mockumentary where he pretended he had gone crazy and I'm not here, something like that, where he grew the beard out and he came on David Letterman. And then they pretended that David Letterman didn't know. I never saw the whole movie. I saw parts of it. But after that, he did the same thing Matthew McConaughey did. He started doing, like, really good, and he had, like, this, you know, real good acting, serious acting roles. He did Johnny Cash before that, but he started to have, like, a resurgence in his career. So he did a movie that caught my attention called You Were Never Really Here. And it was a movie about a guy who goes in, it's about child trafficking, and they steal these kids from a state senator, and he's the guy that they call who's this enforcer. He goes in with just like a hammer, and he beats the hell out of the people that run the places, and he gets the picture of whoever his daughter is. They pay him. He goes in there and hammers the people and then saves the kids and brings them out. But he has like really bad PTSD. Now, the thing that ties that movie into this one is that the Joker movie is that he takes care of his mother in both movies. And there was some criticism saying that this movie was going to inspire incels, which are involuntary celibates, to commit crimes, because nobody's seen this Joker movie yet. But they said that basically what he is he's like Elliot Rodgers, the kid that had the manifesto that he couldn't get laid, so he shot up a bunch of people because he was jealous that they were all getting laid. I'm not making a joke. That was his whole screed, was that the girls wouldn't look at him, and he was never going to have what they had, like relationships, healthy relationships. Well, not with that attitude, but he was never going to have healthy relationships, so ergo, he was going to kill everyone. And supposedly, he wrote a manifesto first. He was kind enough to write a manifesto first and footnote it and all that sort of stuff. And his dad was ready right afterwards to get out in front of some huge audiences and rail against gun control at the same time. I mean, what an amazing family to just, you know, be able to brush off, you know, their murder-suicide, and then to turn it into a political platform, which I suppose in a world could happen, but, you know, having seen up close, I actually saw that this happened in here in my town. There was a murder-suicide of a husband that they had lived next door to us growing up, and their kids, we played with them. The wife was cheating on the husband, and he went into the office, and he was so distraught, he shot her. I think one of the coworkers, just because they came into the room, maybe thought they were a threat. You know, like this was actually an organic version of one of these, and that's why you never heard about it. And he didn't leave a manifesto. Nobody in the family got up in front of any big crowds and gave an anti-gun speech. It just got buried after that. It was just like, oh, how tragic. And it was like a little blip. So it was in the midst of all these other shootings. And it was organic, because I knew the people. But you never heard about it. So just an interesting little aside. But what they said was this Joker movie was going to cause copycats of this Elliot Rodgers and all these shootings. Because they said that apparently in the movie, the character that he plays takes care of his mom, just like in the other movie, and has this weird relationship with her. And then something pisses him off in society, and he must, I don't know, he must either shoot or kill some people. And they're blaming it on, because he couldn't get any nookie. So go figure. I can't really say anything more, except that it looks like a good movie. I wasn't that interested in it. I like Joaquin Phoenix, but I haven't been out to see a movie in years, just because I don't have the time to go do it. I'd love to. I used to love to go to the movies. In fact, I'm the person that always tells people, you have to see this movie in the theater, you know, especially these big science fiction ones or these you know, popcorn, blockbuster ones. Certain movies were just made for the screen, the way you're supposed to view them. The corners of the screen are supposed to go past your vision on your peripheral vision, so that way you're literally immersed into the film. And that way they're able to lob the subliminal messages better at you. But if you're aware of them, they can't. If you're really aware of these things, they can't sneak them by you. You'll catch them every time, even if they do it in a very slickly packaged way. When I got out of the movie Avatar, I was able to pick apart all the different strands that he had, you know, tied in there and woven there, and also appreciated it technically for what it was. But I was like, yeah, that's the story of Pocahontas, basically retold for the 1,000th time, and the clash of civilizations and all that sort of stuff. But it was also like a roller coaster. It was like a cool virtual reality roller coaster with a story that just happened to run a little bit too long. And and it was good for what it was. It was cool when the guy was floating around, and there I saw the IMAX. I think that was the last time I was out at the theater. Yeah, well, maybe I saw it. No. I saw movies after that. But I liked the way the guy, I liked the way the, from what I saw in the trailer, the way Joaquin Phoenix did the laugh for the Joker. And what was cool about it was that the guy that was the director showed him a clip of people with this condition. They didn't want to be able to pinpoint a specific condition. They wanted to make it like, they wanted to make it a mystery what was wrong with him. But there was an actual condition where people have this sort of pained laugh that's like very Joker-like. And he showed them clips either on YouTube or somewhere where these people were in their cars and they were basically laughing hysterically, but it was not because anything was funny. It was because they had this laughing condition, and that's where he got it from. And he said he does four different kinds throughout the course of the movie, and he had to perfect it before he felt like comfortable to actually do the role. And if you think about it, you would have to sort of be able to do the laugh to be able to do the role, no matter how good of an actor you were. So the idea of the character, the Joker, comes from that black and white movie, The Laughing Man. If you ever see the picture of the guy in that, I think he's like a circus freak in that movie. He looks just like him, and he's got this, crazy smile on his face. And he looks, it's a combination of that, Taxi Driver, The King of Comedy, and what was the other one they said it drew influence from? I think The Killing Joke by Alan Moore. They love Alan Moore. Alan Moore, he's so enlightened with all of his Watchmen and all of his V for Vendetta and From Hell and all the other stuff that he's written. I think he also writes erotic comic books. But they always got to take from The Killing Joke and The Dark Knight Returns, which is the Frank Miller. But Alan Moore writes like an intro to it. I think Stephen King writes he writes an intro, I think, and also, they both do. They both say how good it is, subversive it is. And it actually was. It was. It's a good book. I used to collect the books because I wanted to be an animator, and I didn't know if I would be able to start illustrating books before that. But my goal when I was a little boy was to be an animator at Disney or somewhere. I didn't know who else hired animators, but that's what I wanted to do because I could draw really fast and I was pretty good at drawing pretty much any of these characters and stuff. So this movie wasn't one that I wanted to go see. Wasn't excited about it, but because I didn't really have access to anything, it kept popping up on the main page when you're not logged in, and it kept saying Joker, 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 Joker. So I think I just gave in and clicked on all of them. And when I had time, I would watch a trailer here and there, and then I saw all the reviews. So I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know. They'll probably squeeze in that whole archetype, that Saturn archetype of the Jack in the Box and the Joker and all that. The clown. They got the It movie coming out. We're going to have clowns everywhere. The clown in the sewer that shapeshifts and eats the kids. I wonder where he got the idea for that, and drives people crazy. And what else does he do? You'll have to see the movie, the Hall of Mirrors, that was the scene where he sort of plays with people's minds. So what's the ultimate fragmented mind? The ultimate metaphor is the labyrinth and the Hall of Mirrors. So you have, of course, that scene in the preview for the It movie. So we're going to have clowns and jokers and all that fun stuff coming out shortly. And I think the Star Wars movie doesn't looks horrible. I think I sort of bailed out on that a while ago. Those are the three things that kept that's all that is on YouTube now, and the mainstream stuff, all movie stuff, all brand new movies. So yeah, it was very stressful this week. I felt like I tempted fate a little bit by making that joke, but then, you know, thanks be to God, the thing turned for whatever reason. You know, it was still bad because of the people, but it could have been worse. Better to be safe than sorry. Hope for the best, prepare for the worst, and in the future, hopefully, all these people will be prepared. And they will have learned from this, and they'll be grateful that, you know, it could have been a hell of a lot worse. So without belaboring the point, even though I kind of did, I think what I'll do is I think I'll just end that here. I'm shot out, guys. I have my nerves are shot out, and I probably should rest and prepare. If I have any strands of some ideas for next week, instead of just sort of teasing them out tonight, I'll prepare them properly this week and then have something fleshed out that's, you know, interesting for next. I haven't even talked to Bill. So I never know when to end these. Okay, well, it's 10:01. I can't think of anything else important that I forgot to talk about. I'm just looking. I'm doing one last sweep. I'm very thorough. Yeah, I'll save my voice. Okay. Thank goodness. It could have been worse. And I made it. And I'll see you guys next week. Inshallah.